WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Battle Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are...
And it is awesome!
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can live, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Nah, chat, we're playing a video game. Remember, just you're watching a video game right now. You got me? You're watching a video game.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow in chat, hang out in chat, listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And yes, that music means one thing. No, it's not Thursday. I know it's not Thursday. We're here on a Saturday, but that's okay. Because we are here to talk
it's
all
boots
about...
It's boots the asses time.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. We are here to talk all about WrestleMania Night 1. And oh boy, was this a show. Thank you for subscribing for 4 months in a row, Brent. Thank you for supporting the network. And thank you to Matt for the Tier 1 gifted sub.
To Brent.
To Brent.
That's how that happened. Also, thanks. We're in the video game section. We're in the video game section. All right, finish the intro.
If we get DMCA'd, I'm blaming you anyway. It's part of 2K22, we swear.
We swear.
It's part of 2K22. Anyway, we have a ton of stuff to get into. This was only one night. We still have one more to go, guys. We're only halfway through the show, but just out of the gate for this show, this could be a standalone WrestleMania, and this would be a pretty good WrestleMania.
This was a fantastic WrestleMania.
Like, I do not have a lot of complaints about this show. I have to be real. This was a super entertaining show.
Okay. So let's get this out of the gate already. Aw, boo-hoo. They ran ads on the Peacock. Sad. Things got cut, not because of the ad time, not because of your video packages, because the performers in the ring ran long. It's okay. Having New Day versus Sheamus and Ridge Holland is not going to hurt the world. There's a night two.
I mean, it's sad that they got cut from night one, but they can always have them wrestle tomorrow, and it's okay. But yeah, that was a little sad that that got cut. But beyond that, this was a really, really, really good show from top to bottom. And yes, y'all, there was some heavy manifesting that paid off.
The manifestation of the night happened on this show. But we gotta...
We'll get to it right off the bat.
We'll get to all the things. But before we get into all the things and all the hoopla, all the ups and ups and ups, we got to do a segment to start off the show, and we don't want to do it, but we're going to do it anyhow, so I'm going to hit the bumper.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulder snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
This was unfortunate. And it ties into the first match of WrestleMania very nicely, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's exactly why we're going with it.
Rick Boogs suffered a torn quad and a strained...
Torn patella quad.
It looked very painful. He tore it in the match against the Usos, and he had to be carried back to the back. He couldn't walk.
Let me hit the button, and then we'll continue.
# blame Brent.
So unfortunately, that did change the outcome of the match.
It did.
Because Boogs and Nakamura were supposed to win, but unfortunately, because of the injury, they went with the Usos and kept the titles on the Usos. This was a great match. It was an awesome entrance for Shinsuke. I loved the outfit.
The colors worked for Shinsuke. The colors extremely worked for him tonight.
Like, he was rocking that tonight. He looked good. And yeah, this was a good match. This was a very competitive match. And just, unfortunately, Boogs got injured.
He got injured. So they were doing a spot where he had one of the Usos on his shoulder, and he was going to pick the other one up, and it just, his leg buckled underneath him. And we thought it was part of the story, because the story coming in is how they got the match, was because Boogs faked it, or recovered from his leg injury after the Uso attack. And that's how they got the match. However, because of circumstances, he actually injured himself legitimately in the match and would be out for 6 to 9 months. So that kind of hurt things for him. That sucks. It really sucks. But it's unfortunate that it happened at WrestleMania. His first WrestleMania moment, like real WrestleMania moment. And that kind of sucks. So the Usos would retain with the 1D. Just weird that it's a 3D, but it's the 1D. Okay. Whatever. So they changed the outcome on the fly. So you kind of saw them kind of figuring it out as they went. But it's unfortunate about the injury. That was like the one down note of this show. Like legitimately the only down note about it.
Aside from the mask getting canceled. Yeah, because it was like, oh man, that sucks. Because they like ended it relatively quickly after he got hurt. And you're like, well, that was okay. They went with the Usos. That's an interesting choice. I didn't think that was going to happen, but all right. And then as they were on commercial, Rock said in our chat, he's like, they're carrying Boogs to the back.
Yeah, people were putting pictures out of the carry, yeah.
And it's like, oh, no. And yeah, so I hate it for him, but hopefully he will come back stronger and better than ever. And we are all behind you, Rick, very, very, very much.
Yeah. Couple things I want to add before we get into the actual next match. Talk about the intro package. Mark Wahlberg, fantastic choice.
This was a wonderful intro package for the show. I like how they went. I like how they're doing that.
Yeah.
They did it the last 2 years. They're doing it. They're carrying it forward. It's kind of something that the Super Bowl's been doing as well. But I like that they brought in Mark Wahlberg. He's present. He was in the package. He was talking about it. It was just excellent.
It had a football feel to it. Like they do for the championship games and everything, that whether it's college or pro, it had that big fight feel to it. And it helped open up WrestleMania the right way. It was well done.
I mean, from top to bottom, it was all well done, but...
Yeah, so I wanted to mention that. I thought, also on the pre-show, because they had a ton of stuff on there, Maria Menounos did a great job with her interviews, which is not surprising, because she's a fan of the product, so that was really cool.
It was.
Yeah, I think that's about it. Also, Brent would be Madcap Moss, I think.
Oh.
Because of bad jokes.
But would he look cute in the shorts? That's the question.
That's up to him to decide.
Brent, would you look cute in the shorts? We need answers, damn it.
We need the answers. But yeah, so officially the SmackDown Tag Team title stayed on the Usos.
Moving on from that.
Speaking of,
I should say, Drew McIntyre faced Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss. They did a lovely job recapping the video or the feud up to date, talking about how Happy Corbin got to where he is and how he and Drew McIntyre are feuding. This was a solid match. One thing to note is that McIntyre kicked out of the End of Days. I think he's the first person ever
to do that. Yeah.
So great storytelling there. And then we almost had Madcap Moss gonna blame Brent when he almost got cut in half by Drew McIntyre's sword.
Yeah, and said the ropes did after the match. After Drew hit the claymore for the win, he took his claymore and just sort of went choppy choppy the ropes. Which was a cool spot. I was like, oh, that was different.
It was very different. So yeah, this was a good match. It was a quick match. It's a nice showing for Drew. I will say it was interesting for this show because they put what I would consider kind of the more like lighter cooldown matches on first, and then they just backloaded the show with all the main events.
I just thought about this. I kind of thought about it earlier, but it really said it now. That was basically the first hour of the pre-show. What it would have been in ways because of they weren't the greatest matches. It was like your warm-up hour. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it's not a bad thing. It was like it was the warm-up hour, and then you went right into like big main event matches, which is not a bad thing because then we bring out the celebrities and the big moments and everything like that. So yeah, let's want to talk about the big first celebrity moment of the night.
All right, let's talk about it. Logan Paul and The Miz taking on Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio, and we have to talk about Dominic because he paid tribute to his father, Eddie Guerrero.
He did. He 100% did.
The haircut, the American flag gear, just...
Okay, so the backstory to all this is I told Lindsay, I said, you know, made the comment about it to her. It's like, no, you're lying. You can't, no. And then I show her the picture. Just like, yeah.
I'm putting my phone down now. I'm walking away from the computer because... I've been waiting for them to make an Eddie Guerrero reference with Dominic for forever, ever since he showed up, because it's like, you have to, right? You have to at some point, because how can we all forget that? Like, that's the one thing we all remember Dominic for, is that whole feud, so you have to make the reference at some point. And I jokingly said to Rock, you realize the way to break up the Mysterios, right, is to have Dominic look at Rey and go, you're not my real dad.
I mean, it is the perfect setup.
Like, it's the perfect setup for it.
They'll never do it.
Well, we don't... Never say never!
So, quote the dead man.
Which, by the way, before we go any further, whoever picked Mark Calloway's suit for last night and tonight, thank you. And the hair choice. Hair choice was decent. Thank you. I appreciate it. Also, Mark, you stay retired. We will get a spray bottle if we have to.
We'll talk about the Hall of Fame at some point in depth.
We'll spritz you, goddammit!
At some point, we'll talk. We'll do a whole thing about it. One day.
But anyway, yeah, so this was a good, solid little match between, you know, Corbin and Drew and,
Mysterios.
The Mysterios.
So, let's talk about Logan Paul's gear.
Yes, let's talk about Logan Paul's gear and how he came out with a $600,000 or $90,000? An ungodly expensive Pokemon card around his neck.
He did, and they had black and gold, or black and yellow gear, both of them.
And I have to say, Miz looked really sharp in his.
Yeah.
Like, Logan Paul looked good, but Miz looked, like, really super sharp in his. Which you would expect, nothing less, because it's Miz. But yeah, like, quality gear choices. This was a good match.
Dominic was amped up, you could tell.
Dominic was excited, this was his first WrestleMania, and I will give credit where credit is due. I do not care for Logan Paul. However, he showed up.
He did.
He worked. It wasn't the best thing I've ever seen, but he tried.
So, everyone, there was a few people on Twitter going like, you know, we should compare him to than Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny did a lot more. 100% a lot more because he had to. Because Bad Bunny was the babyface, so he has to pull out more maneuvers. But when Logan Paul got in the ring, he had a presence about him like he owned the ring. You saw moments where he looked in the camera, nice facial reactions. Him doing the Three Amigos and then the shimmy on the top rope for the frog splash.
Oh, that was perfect.
Perfect. The heat he got from the crowd with the shimmy. Yeah, that's how you do it. That's how you do it.
He got on Twitter for it. Jesus.
I mean, it was perfect.
I really hate to say it, but I enjoyed the heck out of this match.
It was very good.
It was well done. It was well executed. You had... In the end, Logan Paul and Miz pick up the victory, as you should, because, you know, Logan Paul's a celebrity. But then,
Before you get to that, so there's like a blind tag. So the Mysterios thought they had it. Miz took the blind tag and got the win on Ray. Continue.
Also decided he was about done with Logan Paul's shit. And so, after they celebrate their victory, Miz is like... All right, nah. I'm done with you. Bye-bye. And he skull-crushing finales.
Logan Paul
in the middle of the ring.
And Miz became the biggest babyface up to that point.
Like, yeah, everybody was like, nice. Well done, Mike. Well done. And yeah, this was all really well put together. Very exciting. There was a couple scary spots, I think, with Dominic.
Yeah.
In the match where it's like, oh, honey, be careful.
Calm it down. Calm down the nerves. Figure it out.
But Dominic was beyond amped up. Ray, as a result, was like having the time of his life. Miz was having fun. Logan Paul was having fun. Like they were out there, and they did a good job with the match. All things considered, and that's not a slight at all. It's just you have somebody in the ring that in Logan Paul that's not necessarily a fully trained professional wrestler.
No,
he's been trained to work the match, but he does not have the years of experience that Miz and Mysterio do. And then on the flip side, you have Dominic, who has a little bit more experience than Logan Paul, but this is his very first WrestleMania. You know he's nervous as hell.
Yeah.
But he went out there and he did it anyway. So I felt like this was a really good showing. It was a fun little match. And I think everybody enjoyed it.
Yeah. Can't say a bad thing about it.
Like, it was fine.
Yeah. So before we get into the next match, Stephanie McMahon came out.
In her sneakers.
In her sneakers.
And respect.
And introduced Gable Steveson to the crowd at hand. Showing that, you know, here's the next big star for WWE.
He's back, and we're happy to have him.
So we'll see what he does Monday or Friday, wherever he may... Oh, he's on Raw. He's drafted to Raw. So we'll see if he shows up Monday.
We will see if he shows up Monday. And then we had it.
Oh, God. This was great.
This was an instant classic.
Yeah.
This was phenomenally good and a wonderful, wonderful culmination to this feud. Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair for the Women's Championship. Becky had the best opener.
Oh,
they basically riffed on the Then, Now, and Forever video with Becky. Like, it was basically the same package. Just nothing but Becky Lynch picks. Like, or videos. Like, just nothing but her.
Yeah, so I saw someone else post a GIF of something that could have been as well, like the Marvel opening, too.
That too?
Yeah, see, LeMans saw too. Like, I'm running him a little Marvel. It had a little bit of both in it.
It's just the setup of it coming down the hallways, or what I would call hallways, reminded me more of the WWE than Marvel.
But I could
give you Marvel easy.
It was so great. And then her look.
I got like a David Bowie meets Lady Gaga look. Because she walked out, and she had, like, these mirrored sunglasses, and she's got the new hair, which is very kind of Joan Jett.
First the car.
Yeah, first the car. She rolls up in an Escalade, which was, you know, very nice touch. And she's got the new hair, which I guess could also be kind of Bowie-esque as well.
Yeah, thinking about it, yeah.
And she came to the ring. She looked like a rock star. She looked badass. She had a whole look going on. And then she takes the sunglasses off, and she had, like, this crazy eye makeup on that was so Bowie.
Yeah.
So David Bowie. It was great.
It was fantastic. I was like, all right, I'm saying you're going, okay, there's no way they could top that entrance. Nope. That was really badass from the video and everything. She came out like a rock star. That was great. No way you can top it.
And then Bianca rolled up with a whole ass band. like a marching band. She rolled up with a whole marching band, and I now petition WWE to put a marching band in WrestleMania every year because it was hot. It was so hot.
It was so cool.
And they were out there having the time of their lives, and Bianca came out looking like a goddamn superstar. Like, her look was so cute. She had this, you know, from top to bottom, it just looked fantastic. Compliments to her if she made that, or compliments to whoever made that, because it was lovely.
Yeah.
And she looked super cute in, like, this glitter jacket that had, like, a marching band kind of motif to it.
It did.
And then the bow in her hair.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it all just popped.
She looked like a superstar against another superstar. And that's the way you're supposed to do it at WrestleMania.
And then they just put on a classic.
Oh, God, this was great. Everything about it was hard-hitting. It was everything it needed to be. They took some chances, a lot of chances. You saw 450s. You saw Becky go to the top rope, hit the flipping Molly go around, kicking Bianca right in the head, in the eye.
Yeah, that was not good.
They had the manhandle slam on the ring steps. They even called back to the 18 seconds to start off the match.
With the handshake and everything, that was great. And everybody was so mad for a second because they're like, no!
They did it all. It was that was great. It was such, like, you playing up the history of it. Oh, perfect. Perfect. Because guess what? You know that all the 77,000 people in the building who all bit for it, been watching since SummerSlam, so you know you have the crowd invested in everything that they've been doing. The storytelling was just perfect. The struggle of Becky trying to keep Bianca down multiple times in this match, Bianca trying to do anything in her playbook to keep Becky down. This was perfect. There's nothing I could bad about this like match in terms of like, oh, they did this wrong. It's like, no, anything that screwed up or mistakes is like, it made the match perfect. Because a wrestling match is not supposed to be perfection. It's supposed to be real, authentic. And everything they did was great.
This was, like I keep saying, this was an instant classic. I loved the moments of desperation with both women.
Yeah.
Where it's Becky's frustrated, she can't keep Bianca down, and Bianca's completely in her head. And you see that moment where Bianca's completely in her head because Becky is just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to beat her, but she's not going to let Bianca take that title. Bianca's going to have to pry it from her cold, dead hands.
Yeah.
And then there's Bianca who's like pushing Becky and trying to get Becky, and Becky will not stay down because she's not going to let go of that title. And Bianca's like, what do I have to do?
Mm-hmm.
How far do I have to go to beat Becky? And that really helped to push and escalate the violence in the match of how far they were actually willing to go. And as the desperation increased on both sides, you saw them both taking risks.
And that's what happens in a huge fight like this.
It was just perfect. And then in the end, Bianca Belair, the star that she is, gets the WrestleMania moment that she deserves and walks out the Raw Women's Champion.
So she hits the KOD, and the building and the roof erupts. Like, they blew the roof off the building with the finish. It was so good, because it's like, for all the talk, oh, they screwed Bianca up, they screwed her up, they screwed it all up. No. Watch that. Watch that 70,000 people leap off their feet in celebration for Bianca to win. They did it. Perfect.
They made this Bianca's moment. That's what this was. That's what this whole finish was. This was Bianca's moment to shine. And they did it perfectly.
Yeah. That's the best part about it. They did it perfect. There was no, like, I can't even say more. It was perfect. And guess what? When we get the rematch, it's going to be as good. But they built to it. They gave us the long-term booking, and they gave us the moment. Everyone bitched along the way. Everyone canceled their subscriptions along the way. But guess what? They made you want to see the big moment on the biggest stage in front of the biggest crowd in sports entertainment on the biggest night.
They made it important. They made it matter.
Yeah.
They made it count. And tonight, if they hadn't done it already, then this will be it, because they have made a star in Bianca Belair.
Last year was the breakout, beating Sasha Banks in the main event. That was making her a star in name. Now, she's truly a star by beating the man who has not been pinned or submitted or lost a championship in 3 years. That's a moment.
That's a huge moment. And congratulations to Bianca. It's well deserved.
It is so well deserved. She worked her ass off. Both women were star makers for the night.
They were. It was wonderful. If you watch nothing else from the show, if you miss WrestleMania Night 1 and you're just listening to this for the recap, watch this match.
This was
phenomenally good.
Yeah. And it's just phenomenally good. Yeah. Yep.
Like, I don't even know how else to sum it up other than it was phenomenally good. Let me put it like this. They put their whole asses into it.
Even with red specs on them.
Even with red specs, yes. That was the one thing that I couldn't, like, stop staring at was Bianca had, like, this... She made this really cool top where she had, like, her lips logo as her top. And she had it as, like, these giant red... Sequin things. And one of them came off in the first move of the match. And then, you know, because they were rolling around on the mat for the first minute or so of the match, the sequin that fell off got stuck to Becky's gear. It was on her butt. And it was stuck to Becky's butt for the entirety of the mat. So she's wearing this black latex gear with a red dot right on her ass the whole time. And it's like, I found it incredibly distracting, which, you know, like you do. But it was still very, very good.
Okay.
All right.
Before we get into that. Chad, if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. You support channel by clicking the purple bar, clicking their button below the screen. This is just a form of an ad. Ding. Let's go.
Ding. It was speculated. It was rumored. It was manifested. It was all the things. It has driven the internet nuts for 2 months. And finally we're here. We have the answers. Smoke has cleared.
But before we get to that, Seth Rollins, talk about him.
You know, I thought Becky was extra. And then there's Seth. I don't even know what Seth was wearing. Was that like a Witcher thing? If it was like this really weird Witcher Game of Thrones-esque inspired Renaissance-y, medieval-y, fantasy blue thing.
He's the one who had a choir too, right?
The entrance was he had a choir. I don't even know. And then he walks out in this blue cape that's covered in faux fur. I don't even want to know how many Muppets died for it. And lace pants with sequins on them. Like, the match hadn't even started yet, and I had about 50 questions as to what was going on. It was fantastic. And then it's just Seth, being Seth, running around in the ring, twirling in his cape.
Yes, it was.
And then what's worse is the cape came off, and he's wearing this pleather and lace and sequin top. Like, I guess it was like a fake... I don't want to call it a fake doublet, because that's not right. It wasn't a doublet. But it was like a fantasy medieval type shirt thing going on, where it had, like, lace cutouts in the front and pleather on the back. And I'm sitting there looking at him, and I'm like, oh, God, Rock, is he going to wrestle in that? He can't wrestle in that. Look at him. He's damp. Like, he was moist. I don't even know how to describe him other than just moist. Like, moist. There was just... water everywhere on Seth Rollins.
So he's standing there and all this whole get up, and he's waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and where's the opponent? No one, nothing's happening. And then the lights darken. Everything, pyro shuts off, the lights darken, and then you hear the familiar tone. There's only one. There's more than one royal family. And out came the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. He rose up. They gave him the pyro, the music, the look, everything, the phrases, everything. And when he walked out on that, when that music hit, and he walked on out, he came out on that stage, the roof again blew off the building.
All the manifestation paid off.
At the end of the match, Byron talked about the manifestation.
which was great. It was perfect. Because it was, like, the internet was trying so hard to get any information they could on Cody. Like, any information on his contract. Every day it was something different. He's signed. He's not signed. He's going back to Japan. He's going back to AEW. We don't even know what's going on with him because everybody went from having a level of transparency with Cody to pure radio silence, which radio silence should have told everybody what was going on. Because if Cody's not talking, if WWE is not talking, right? If nobody's confirming it, then that in itself is a confirmation, because Cody would be out here talking and running his mouth if he wasn't signed to WWE. That's just it. The fact that he's gone quiet should speak volumes to everybody.
Yeah.
But every day, it was like, he's signed, he's not signed. We don't know what's going on. Oh my god, what do we do? Panic!
Eyeball emoji, what's going on? Oh my god.
So, the fact that it finally came to the culmination, and it was what we had all suspected, which it was Cody Rhodes, but it's like, it could be somebody else. There, we don't know. It's going to be a surprise, but whoever it is, it's going to be a relatively big deal, because they're bringing them out at WrestleMania, there's no leaks pertaining to it, and I am super impressed with everybody that they kept their goddamn mouth shuts today, and they didn't leak the fact that Cody Rhodes was in the building. Good job, everybody.
We all knew, but thank you.
Yes, we all knew, but thank you. And that was like kind of the whole thing that was sort of frustrating me with it, was it's like everybody has to know. We can't have the surprise, right? Like, we can't be surprised. We have to know who it is, which that's natural human curiosity. But it's like, y'all complain that you don't get surprised. Let them surprise you. And they did a good job with it. Like, they never confirmed Cody was signed. They dropped hints, very subtle hints, but they never confirmed it.
Yeah.
And they brought him out for a huge WrestleMania moment. They made it seem incredibly important. They made him seem incredibly important. He looked like a star. He and Seth turned in what I would call a good match to a great match. It was a little messy in spots.
They worked hard. They had I thought it was a really great match. I enjoyed the shit out of it. I think Bianca and Becky had the better storytelling match. They went out here and they did the Cody match. They took risk. They took some chances. Some paid off. Some almost didn't pay off. You had some moments where you had Rollins welcome Cody back to the big leagues. We had some nice Stardust references by Cody as well. Like, you tied it all together, and you had Cody doing the Cody cutter and everything like that. You had the big dives on the outside. One of them didn't work almost.
It was a little scary.
A little scary, but the powerbomb on the outside, the teases of the pedigree, all that was... I so badly wanted the Cody to hit the pedigree at one point. Oh, it was so good, though.
I feel like they're going to continue to tease it, and then eventually Cody will hit the pedigree. But yeah, they're going to keep teasing it for the time being until he does.
Yeah, and they just went and he kicked out of the pedigree from Seth Rollins. Oh god, there was the reverse superplex. That was the scariest moment of the match. The reverse superplex.
They hit it perfectly, but it was scary.
Because if he doesn't flip all the way over, it would end so badly. But they hit it fine. There was nothing wrong with it. But it was like, it's that moment he's like, lifts him up in the air. It's like, this could go really bad if it doesn't, if they screw it up, but they didn't screw it up. I knew they won it, but it's still like, ooh, it was one of those ooh moments for a second. Seth kicked out the Cody cutter, he kicked out of the crossroads, they hit their big moves, all that fun stuff. And then Rollins thinks he has it, he hits him with the four in the back of the head, Cody recovered, hit the crossroads, rolls through, hits another crossroads. And it's like, you're waiting for the third, because that's when his big matches, he does like the roll through crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of hit before he hit the third, he did the flip flop and fly, the bionic elbow, and then hit the crossroads for the win. Nice tribute to his father at the end. That, everything about it, that was great. And you had, yeah, we'll get to that in a second. But, like, for Cody matches that get overbooked and everything, there was nothing overbooked about it. This was straightforward. This was two workers going all out and having a hell of a match. And maybe we'll get a story out of it. Maybe we'll get a rematch out of it. Who knows? We'll have to find out Monday what the direction is, because Monday is the Raw after Mania and everything's going to go crazy. And yeah, I thought this was really, really good. I thought they worked really hard and delivered a match that lived up to the hype. They lived up to the hype of what this was. They could have half-assed it. They didn't. They delivered.
Gave Cody an opportunity to show what he could do. Seth was the perfect opponent for this. He sold everything perfectly. He carried the feud until Cody showed up. And they gave Cody a very, very nice showing to reintroduce him back to the audience as the American Nightmare. Because a lot of us remember Cody as Stardust. I think that's what he's best known for. And he went out and he reinvented himself. And he came and he did everything that he did. I didn't agree with everything that he did. But he did it nonetheless, and he's now come back into WWE as the American Nightmare, and it's going to be very interesting how they handle him, because they made him look like a star here.
He kept his look, he kept his music, he had the same awful tattoo on the neck.
God, it's so distracting! A whole match! All I did was stare at the ugly tattoo because it kept flexing weird. Like, the little part that goes up on his neck under his, like, jaw. Like, his skin flexes weird, and it bothered me the whole match. And it's blurring. It's blurring, y'all. It's not good. I mean, tattoos blur. That's what they do over time. But regardless, like, it's gotten all, like, thick and blurry, and so it just is not good. Can they do something about that, please?
The answer is no.
I mean, tackle him to the ground and put makeup on him, whatever fixer they used on Bianca and Becky. You put makeup on Cody and you spray him down and you cover up that tattoo. Because it's distracting. I'm sorry. I notice weird shit in wrestling. That's what happened. I also have concerns about the mole on his eye. I think he needs to get it checked. But these are the things that I notice in wrestling.
I know.
This is watching wrestling with me. No, I'm explaining it to the people.
I know.
But like, it was so utterly distracting to me. But like, I thought the match was fine. I thought the debut was great. I'm happy that the anticipation paid off. I'm happy that the internet is like I think they're pleased. I don't know.
I mean, their majority is pleased. There's a section of the fan base who's kind of not happy.
They're not happy, but I think for the most part, everybody is very, very excited for what they're going to do with Cody. So we will see where they go from there. But yes, he's back.
So this is a quote. The decision to come here was the easiest decision I ever made. It was just time. He also did a podcast as well as a Variety interview. So he did an interview right after the match with for a podcast with The Ringer. So yeah.
Get it while it's hot.
Cody's here. We'll see what he does. They continue to push him like Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare. They have a main event star that they was homegrown, who left for a while and now is back again. Remind you of anyone? Drew McIntyre?
Mm-hmm.
So they're in a good spot with Cody being back if they present him like he should.
Okay, so according to Brent, Seth's shirt was a WWE pleather form of the puffy shirt from Seinfeld.
Was it? Is that what he was going for?
I think so.
I mean, I guess.
Or at least it resembled it. I don't know. It was the look overall was good. It was just weird. Like, even for Seth's standards, it was an odd choice. But it wasn't bad.
No.
Like, he had fun twirling in his cape.
He did. Okay, so BT Sports, bravo.
Yeah!
They did the mock-up of the so-and-so is all elite, and they reverse fortune it for Cody, saying he's WWE. Yeah, that was perfect.
Yeah.
That was perfect.
So moving on from Cody Rhodes, we have
The Undertaker.
The Undertaker. He came out. Good suit choice.
Huge.
We had the Hall of Fame.
Huge ovation for Taker. Huge ovation for people. But Undertaker's entrance, another one where roof blown, crowd excited, jumps for joy.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to knock the 3D animators, because I think they did a very good job on the Taker, like, whatever the graphic is, whatever they're called. Augmented reality or whatever.
Yeah, augmented reality.
What I want to know is who decided glitter was a good choice for the texture. Not only glitter, but like latex glitter. I think it's supposed to resemble like the cosmos or stars or celestial stuff or something, but it literally looks like he's glittered. Like he's wearing glittered latex. I'm not kidding. It's not bad, but I just want to know why they went with that choice and also why they animated it in a way that you came out of his skull and you saw everything. Because that was a little awkward.
So I'm watching it and I go, that was so creepy. And because Lindsay was on a slight delay, it's like, what is he talking about?
And then it happened.
And then and it happened.
Was like, he's from the Twilight universe?
No.
No, he's not. I mean, he could be, but he's not. I don't think he has the tolerance for that. Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, this was a nice send-off for Taker. He'll probably come out again tomorrow night, but if he doesn't, one last final goodbye before goes back home, which he's not going home, I think, till Tuesday. He's doing a panel after Raw. Go to it. You can watch him talk, which I'm sure he tells great stories, as we saw yesterday.
He was practicing, yeah.
Okay, can we... Okay.
What?
I feel so bad. This is my one criticism Taker speech. One criticism. Number one, go watch the Hall of Fame. Taker's speech, everybody's speeches were good, but Taker's speech was really, really, really good. Here is my one criticism of his speech. Mark, learn to stand still.
He can't.
That man paces. I felt so bad for the camera operators and for the people in the truck because the entire time he's giving his speech, he's walking back and forth the whole time, and he's pacing, and it's like, would you just stand still? I love you, but would you please just stand still?
He can't for that long. He can't.
Yeah, he can't do it. But it was like he tried, and he did. He gave a really, really good speech, and it was wonderful. So if you missed it, it's on Peacock. Go watch it. The Hall of Fame was very entertaining, and Taker did a wonderful job. Vince gave a great speech as well.
Yeah.
And you could tell Vince was having a hard time in spots.
Yeah. All right. Ready for the next match?
Let's talk about it. Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair for the SmackDown Women's Championship. And a nice little touch, you had Little Nate as the ref.
And boy, oh boy, was it fitting to have Little Nate as the ref.
Helps, don't it?
It really does. So this was good. This was not as good as Bianca and Becky. But this was good. This was physical.
Oh God, they beat the shit out of each other.
They were beating the shit out of each other. It took a few minutes for them to find their groove, but they did. Once they got to some of the pinfall spots and the submission rollsters and stuff like that, they really got to work, and they worked a really good match with nice counters and all that stuff. So it was the most surprising outcome of the night. Charlotte Flair retained. But what you saw in this match were visuals of Ronda Rousey beating the champion. She hit Piper's Pit for a 3 count, but oh no, the ref saw the foot on the rope after he hit the count for 3. So Little Nate saved Charlotte once. Then Charlotte hit a spear, or missed Ronda and laid out Nate with the spear, I believe. And then Ronda put the armbar on, got her to tap. So there's visual number 2 that the champion tapped and lost the match. However, because Ronda was complaining, she got caught off guard, took a boot to the face, and Charlotte Flair retained the championship. I was surprised by the finish. I was surprised, but I shouldn't have been extremely surprised by it. If Ronda's going to keep a limited schedule compared to working house shows, so you may want the champion on them a little bit longer, and they can always build to the rematch and have put the belt on Ronda. So it kept people off guard, where everything was titles were changing, and you know, were expected to change, but didn't because of injury, that they kept it on Charlotte. It was a good match. It was good.
I enjoyed this. It was very, very physical. I still feel like I kind of agree with Rock in the sense that the first match was better between the two. A couple years ago before Ronda left.
That
However, this...
That was good too, yeah.
this was good. This was perfectly acceptable. I was surprised by the ending where Charlotte wins, but it's like, well, that makes sense because it's Ronda and everybody's probably thinking that Ronda is going to win. So by having Charlotte win, it's a nice little upset. And then with the way that Charlotte won with the ref shenanigans, Ronda can take that to Deville and Pierce and be like, I want a rematch. I want to face her at WrestleMania Backlash because this is not right. This is not cool. So.
And you could all, even if it doesn't even get the Backlash, it could happen Friday on SmackDown. Imagine a big title change on SmackDown. It could happen. Anything's possible.
Anything's possible, but this was very good. I like this. This was very entertaining. But in the end, Charlotte Flair gets away with her title and Ronda Rousey's left to chase.
Okay.
Let's talk about it. The end of the show, the main event. Unfortunately, like we said, New Day versus Sheamus and Ridge Holland did not happen. But I think that's okay given what we did get, because we got
the Kevin Owens show
featuring Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Okay. So Kevin comes out. Fans are booing him, chanting Austin. And then you have him just, he walks the ring and he's like, his hands are taped. This is a talk show. Why is his hands taped? But he gets in the ring and they have the whole setup, the signs, the chairs. And Owen starts to talk. And every time he talks, the fans just get on him even more. He calls Austin the worst influence and couldn't wait to tell him that he sucks. He's going to sit him down in this chair and tell him he sucks. He's going to give him a stunner, pour beer on him if he gets out of line. He's like, he's just running him down. And Owens is eating up every single moment. Every single word he says, he's eating it up because you can tell he has the crowd at the palm of his hand.
Oh, he was enjoying this thoroughly.
Then Stone Cold's music hits. Go ahead.
And just when you think the crowd doesn't have another pop in them,
they gave it to you.
They erupted.
They erupted. Once that glass shattered out of nowhere, boom. He comes out, knee braced up, wrist taped, jeans, shorts on. And he's walking down, back and forth on the stage. Crowd's going crazy. He starts to walk to the ring, stops. Kevin Owens is in his chair laughing, going, he left. He came and left. I got him. Austin comes back on the ATV and storms down to the ring. And the best part about it is, as I said, Owens' face, when it was laughing, it went shit. Like, that, the mood just shifted when he saw him come down on the ATV. It's like, oh shit. Here we go. So Austin gets in the ring. He does, knocks over the signs. He does everything. And then Owens is like, stop the music. Kind of, no, this is my show. You're going to sit in this chair so we can talk. Don't want to fight you. I want to talk. Then runs down Texas some more. It's not as good as Canada. He said he would rather live in Mexico than Texas. It's just right. It's right there. And Owens, again, just eating it all up. Owning the segment. And Austin's just looking and staring at him the entire time. Then Kevin Owens goes, I have something to admit to you. I lied. I didn't want to talk to you. I'm looking for a fight. I brought you onto my show, the main event of WrestleMania. Challenge you to a match. The fans went bonkers when he said that. Not just any match. A no-holds-barred match. Right now. Owen's like, you can't beat me. You know, you're not saying anything. Well, you're speechless. Just leave. Fans go, one more match. One more match. Austin's like, I had my first match here in Dallas, Texas. And I could have my last match in Dallas, Texas. He asked the fans if you wanted to see me in a match to give me a hell yeah. He said that, you want me to beat up this sack of shit? And then he goes, give me a god referee.
He said asshole and sack of shit, but he stocks himself at god dang or god damn ref.
Yeah, he stopped the word damn. He said sack of shit, and he got a 77,000 people asshole chant.
Like you do.
And like, okay, so in this, Kevin Owens is talking about how Austin had, when he, 19 years ago, he bad knees, bad back, bad neck. I have a bad back right now, but I'm still challenging you to this match. That's a key point right there. We'll get back to that. So the crowd lighting is so different for the KO show, right?
Mm-hmm.
The bell rings, the lights go down, and you go like, oh shit, we're having a match. It's actually happening. there was a point that you pointed out right before the match started. I was like, you saw the face on Austin. It's like, yeah, that face. Like, yep, we know what's coming. We all know what's coming. You good?
Yeah, I'm good. Sorry, sound accidentally played.
But then we had Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kevin Owens in a no holds barred match.
Austin, I fucking love Austin so much.
This was,
I forgot how much I love Austin. Oh my god.
This was great. They stare around each other and then they start slugging it out. Fist back and forth. And then Austin just starts opening up that can. He gets him down the corner and just starts boot after boot after boot after boot, getting the crowd to play along. And then, beer. Stop some more beer.
Here's the thing. Austin doesn't move the fastest anymore. He's not as quick as he used to be, but goddamn, he still knows how to make it entertaining. Because he's like, all right, I walked the mud hole. Drinks. Gonna stomp it dry. Drinks. Gonna take a suplex on concrete because I can. Drinks. Like, it was Austin presented in the right way in a modern setting. And it was a really nice nostalgic moment, I feel like, for everybody, because in that moment, it was Stone Cold being Stone Cold, and it was Stone Cold being genuine. Like, that's what the whole thing has been wonderful in terms of the presentation of it. Was it was Stone Cold in a genuine way.
Yeah.
It wasn't forced. It was planned, but there was an organic quality to it that was really, really nice.
Yeah. They brawled on the table. They then fought through the crowd. Austin took a couple bumps. He took a suplex on concrete. I went, holy shit. He actually took the suplex on the concrete. I went, all right, we serious now. We really serious. At one point, Kevin got the advantage. And he's Austin down. He's like, I'm leaving. I'm gonna take the ATV and I'm out. But he couldn't get it to start. Austin rolls up, jumps on the back of it, drives him up the ramp. They battled up on the stage. And this is where I told Lindsay, I was watching. I was like, that was super clean. Where they're fighting on the ramp on the stage. Austin hits a suplex, snaps right back up.
He trained for this. He got in shape for this. You can tell he was raring to go when he did this.
Yeah, because it's like you see the old timers come back. They hit their move and they're just sitting there, right? They're sitting there. They're sitting there. Like, no. Austin snapped back right up on his feet. He did it a second time. Hit the suplex. Got rolled through and got right back up on his feet. It's like, if you sit, you're going to hurt. You got to keep moving. He got right back up. And it's like, yeah. So we do more beers and everything like that. Everyone goes crazy. Get back in the ring. Owens hits the first stunner of the match. 1, 2, almost 3. Fans are like, Austin, Austin. Kevin's like, give me chair. He goes, finds a chair. He swings chairs. Chair hits rope. Chair hits face. Austin hits boot. Stunner. 1, 2, 3. Yes, we had a 1, 2, 3. Stone Cold Steve Austin wins a match at Russell freaking Mania. Holy shit.
This is everything you could have ever wanted.
Yeah.
For what it was. Obviously, there are limitations on what Austin can do, and I feel like he did what he felt was best. Like I said, it was authentic. It was genuine. It was the Austin experience, because then he stood in the ring for 10 minutes afterwards and poured beer all over himself, the ring, Byron Saxton. Who he hit a stunner on, the first three rows. Like, everything was just covered in beer.
Yeah.
His brother. You know, like, it was just, it was the Austin experience in the best way possible.
That was a cool moment between him and his brother.
That was a cool moment between him and his brother. And I liked the interview segment before. Like, there was, for the fact that we have not seen Kevin Owens and Stone Cold Steve Austin together on screen, I think ever, and this is the first time we're going to see it, the chemistry there was super real. Because Kevin was, like, enjoying it, milking it, having fun with it, and then it's Austin, and it's the Steve Austin we know, just sitting there, working the crowd, having it in the palm of his hand, and just doing his thing the best way he knows how. This was so enjoyable to watch. This was a great way to send the crowd home. Perfect close to WrestleMania Night 1. It's that perfect touch of nostalgia for everybody. So it was natural and fun.
So I understand why they didn't want to officially announce this as a match. One, they wanted a surprise. And two, it probably weighed on Austin a lot. Because if you guarantee something and he can't deliver it, he's going to regret it. But he probably came to the building, felt really good, and they went with it. Or probably, you know, through training, he's like, all right, we can do it. We can do it. Because there was hesitation, probably. Because he's older. You saw he's slowed down. But he can still do Stone Cold Steve Austin to his best of his ability. And he delivered everything you possibly could get out of it, which was great. The stunners, the extra stunner to Owens after the match, the stunner to Byron. He brings Byron into the ring. Oh, that was so good. Nice callback, too, from, like, when this whole thing started, like, back in the pandemic. It was him and Byron together. It won 316 Day, the first Raw, right? Yeah. It's 316 Day. Austin was promised to be there. And it's like, it was a nice callback to Byron and him, and then he eats a stunner in front of 70,000 people. It's like a nice culmination of it. It was perfect. It's like, said a lot about the show being perfect. It really was. Like, they did some really good stuff in this. It's like Austin taking bumps and that he shouldn't have to do, but he did. Kevin Owens being the fucking man, owning the crowd, got the biggest heat you can possibly get because he's running down Stone Cold Steve Austin. He is worth every dime he was paid to stay with that company. Vince McMahon trusted him. Steve Austin trusted him to be in the main event of WrestleMania. There have been years where Kevin Owens barely gets on the show. He went from being untrusted to like the worst match that, you know, it was Jericho and Owens a few years ago, and Vince hated that match, and it disappointed him, and whatever, and Owens was, like, upset about it, like, Vince was upset about the match, and, like, Owens had it, and found his way back, and now he's in the main event with Stone Cold Steve Austin, the guy we talked about. No one else could get in the ring. No one got him. Kevin did. It happened. The thing was made, and they delivered a fight. It wasn't a wrestling match. It was a goddamn fight. It owned. Like, people, I'm seeing messages, and I'm getting messages, like, people are, like, biggest grin on their face. Like, yeah, this was fucking awesome. It was Stone Cold doing Stone Cold things. He sent the crowd home happy. They didn't care that it was called a talk show segment. The fucking crowd was buzzing. Buzzing. Just with them sitting there talking. And then they got into it in physical and they battled and did everything. Yeah. So I mentioned Kevin Owens in his speech goes, my back's hurting. That's heel move number one. That's his out. The only reason Stone Cold Steve Austin beat me, my back is hurt. He gave himself the out. Perfect storytelling. Yeah, this was great. I loved it. It's been a while since you can come out of a WWE WrestleMania show and say everything was great. Yeah, I loved it.
This was a perfect way to close the show. This was a fun way to close the show. I think a lot of people went home happy. I don't want to say everybody went home happy, but I think the majority went home happy. I think the majority enjoyed the show. And it made me excited for night two because it was like there's still more to go and there's still more that you want to see. And they've done a very nice job of pacing out this show and planning out this show so that you don't get everything on night one that you want to see. You get it spread out. So it's like you have to watch night one and night two.
Yeah.
You don't see everything that you want on night one. Because I think that was my problem last year was everything that I wanted to see was on night one. And so it was like night two, it's like, it's okay. With this, it's spread out very nicely. All the main events are getting somewhat equal treatment in terms of placement, in terms of time, in terms of all of it. And then you have the lower matches that are doing just what they need to do. And it's just well done. It's all well executed and well done.
Tomorrow night, you get the big main event for the unification match. You get Johnny Knoxville versus Sami Zayn, which will probably be a fantastic comedy whatever thing. Pat McAfee is going to probably try to go out there and whoop Austin Theory's ass. you're going to have a hell of a show tomorrow. This was, you got Edge and AJ Styles who were probably looked at this show going, all right, we see it. Okay, we're going to deliver. It's going to be a hell of a show tomorrow. It's going to be a hell of a show.
Yeah, this is, the glove has been thrown. Let's see if night two can deliver like night one has. But I think that does it for us. What do you think?
Yeah.
So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
In this time slot next week, we'll see you radio. Sorry. Yeah, so next Saturday night, midnight, is CB Radio, CBRadio.com. Tomorrow night, it's WTR Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio, probably around the same time, 11:30, midnight, to recap two nights of the most stupendous WrestleMania of all time. That was the first time I think we said stupendous all night.
I think so, yeah.
There's two of them for stupendous WrestleMania. Three. Stupendous. Four. That's the male stunners that were hit. Anyway, Monday night is a Raw post-show and Raw after Mania, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, review night two of WrestleMania. Track Radio Show on all social media platforms. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com / Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen. You can also use creator code RocketSock or
Linz M. Ward.
Neil Hood and I am set up for Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag epic partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LNSWD. Follow my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Linz Ward. We are knee deep in Genshin Impact 2.6, and there's more coming, guys, but we finally hit the Archon Quest today. Yay! After going through and opening stuff up, we finally reached the Archon Quest, which is the main story quest in the game. So if you want to come hang out tomorrow, I will be streaming tomorrow. Just check out my Twitter at Linzward, LNSWRD, to find out when I'm going live, so we can talk all about the Genshins and the Daneslifts and the Conrias and everything. Don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor as well, mbgfilms.youtube.com/mbg1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. This has been The Rack, and we have been talking about WrestleMania Night 1. We will be back Thursday to talk about Night 2. So till then, bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.